come. Hopefully someone's going to come and give you one of these cards if you weren't here this morning, which is about this whole, like, we're doing Vision Week, but for the whole month of February, we're calling it a month of prayer. Now, I'm excited about this because really it's about saying, what are the things that we are believing for as a church, as a group of people coming together that we really want to see happen this year, and we really want to see a difference made. And so we're gonna lift that up in prayer together. And I think there's something awesome about us coming as a group, not just individuals, but as a group, and praying for the same thing and lifting up the same thing. And that's really powerful. So make sure you get one of these and think about what you want to do. Rachel and I were talking today about what sort of fasting that we want to do. And so think about fasting. Think about how you can spend more time in prayer. Think about what you can do about that. Make sure you get to House Builders. And we're going to have another Wednesday night at the end of the month. So make sure that you get to as much of that as you can. And just soak yourself up in it. And so I'm going to pray right now. We're going to pray together. And the first week is salvation for friends and family. And so we're just going to lift up that. I'm going to lift up this week and this whole month. God, thank you so much for everything that you're doing and everything that you have planned, God. And that your purpose for this week, this month, and this year, God, are so enormous. And so, God, we really want to be a part of it. We really want you to speak into our hearts. And, God, we really want to seek you with everything that we have, God. And I really, earnestly, God, we want to come to you and ask you to move in the lives of our friends and family, God. We just pray that people would come to know the reality of you, God, and of your presence, and what Jesus did on the cross and how that was for them, God, and not dismiss Christianity as a religion or just another thing for people to be involved in, God, but come to know you personally and come to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, God, and come to live a life that honors and glorifies you, God, and spend eternity in heaven with you. And God, we are believing for that. We're believing for friends and for family that we've been praying for years, God, that you are going to do something amazing in their hearts, God. We know that it's only you that can save. And so, God, we ask you to move in a powerful way, God. Use us for your purpose, God, and use us to reach our family. Use us to reach our friends, God. And so we lift them up to you. And God, I lift up this month as well that you would just use it for your glory and build things in us that will go throughout this entire year, Lord. Amen. Amen. Awesome. I am excited to be here. I was really thinking, this is not in my message really, but I was just kind of sitting in the worship standing and just felt like I was saying, like, what's your expectation for this year, for this time of worship, for this service? Like, what is the expectation that I'm coming with? And have I let, like, the things that have happened in the past year, do I let my, like, physical tiredness or circumstance, like, affect my expectation of what God is going to do? Or can I trust God to be God and then understand that my expectation doesn't have to have anything to do with anything that's in me or my personal, like, experience or circumstance, and it has everything to do with God, who never gets tired and never gives up, who always has more? And I don't know, maybe, like, that's something for someone or for us tonight, that just to lift our expectation for this year, for our lives, for our work, for our relationships. I don't know what it is for you, but just to lift your expectation, because God has a high expectation. Not in a bad way, not in a way where you can't live up to it, but in an incredible way where God expects more for you and from you than you expect of yourself and for yourself. And He wants to do something incredible with you. And we can come to church kind of sitting back, or we can come expecting God to do something incredible and expecting Him to move in a powerful way, expecting Him to speak into your heart. You know, you can read your Bible every day and expect it to be a chore, or you can read your Bible every day and expect God to speak through His word. I just love it. Like, it is so good. And I love having all the guys like Luke shared and Rach shared, just stuff out of the word of God, where God has just spoken something into their heart, just real simply. And that's what it's about. And so, I don't know, that's not even where I was going to talk. Maybe it's kind of related, but I just feel like we need to lift our expectation for this year and just expect God to do good things, expect Him to move in a powerful way, expect Him to do what we have not expected Him to do before. Because if we do, He'll do it. Amen? Good. All right, let's get into it. I just really tonight want to share just stuff that I feel like God's put on my heart and just simply about vision for the year. And Dad's message this morning was amazing. And so if you weren't here, then you need to download that podcast because, like, you know, you can't get the vision from the church if you don't listen to the senior pastor talk about the vision for the church. So get that message because that's just a no-brainer. So, and it was amazing as well. And so, but I want to talk a bit about, I guess, the vision that I feel like God's got for us as a group of people, a group of young people, and as a church, and personally. And I just, my vision for this year is not small. And the more that I think about it, the more that, like, we go through this vision process, like, I really just hope that your vision is not small. And that you don't think that, like, Vision Week is just a bunch of, like, hype and then we'll go back to normal. But you would let it stir faith in your heart to actually make a difference in your life. And the things that you say you're believing for, like we did a video this morning, people saying what they're believing for the year, that you would be able to look back on that at the end of this year and go, wow, I saw God do the things that I was believing for. I stood in faith every day for a year for the things that I was believing for and that God was putting on my heart. And I didn't give up on a vision once Vision Week finished and I could forget about it. I didn't let, like, the things in life just overtake the vision that God put in my heart, but I held on to it and I went for it. And so, like, I really believe that if we do that, we will see things that we've never seen before. And like, as a church and as individuals and as a group of young people, we will see just stuff happen that we have never seen in our lives. And I don't think that's a too big a thing to say, yeah? I think we'll see our church break through into the place that it is supposed to be. Like, this is a time of growth and things to move and God really to bless. I was just thinking this afternoon about how faithful Mum and Dad have been in planning this church. And it's the 19th year of City Life Church this year. And just the faithfulness to come and plant that and never give up. And just how much I just think God's going to bless that. And He's going to bless the faithfulness of everybody here who has just stuck it in and said, I'm not just here for a weekend or a few months, but I'm here to build the church. And God's going to use me to build His church. And I just believe that God's going to bless that faithfulness and He's going to build the church into the strong and the radiant and a pure bride that's a light to the city, the church that He has designed us to be. And I'm just excited about that. Are you excited about that? Good, I am. We were at this wedding yesterday. It was such a nice wedding. And it was just really good. It was our cousin's wedding. And they're just such lovely people and really just awesome and just love God. And the whole thing was just great. It was just awesome and I loved it. But Dad shared this verse because he was doing the ceremony, and it's a classic wedding verse, but it's the Ephesians 5. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And I just thought about that, and I thought about, like, a wedding and a marriage, but I also thought about the church and how that's the church that I want to see. And that's the church that Jesus wants to build. And that's the church that we can have if we let, like, Jesus build that in us and through us, because we are the church that the Bible is talking about. The church is not the building that we build or the ministry, like, activities that we do, but the church is a group of people coming together to worship and to serve God. And so, like, when we believe it and when we let that into our hearts, then God will build that church in us and through us, yeah? And that's who we will be, the bride of Christ. And it's not just an abstract thought. It's the reality of what Jesus wants to build in us and through us. Amen? I don't think that where we are at is okay. I don't think that it's enough or even close. I just really feel like this is just the very beginning of what God wants to do. And He just has so much for us. And I just... I don't know, maybe you think it's silly to say it, and I don't care, but I think that God's going to do things in this year and the next year that we have never seen before. And He's going to do things that we had no idea He would do. And we're not just going to do the same things that we've been doing, but God's going to just open doors up this next couple of years and just really do something incredible. You know, we're going to build a new home for our church and put a stake in the ground. And I love when Dad talks about the generations, because he talks about children's children, which would be our kids. And but then when I apply it to myself, then it's my children's children, and it's automatically like even further. And say like Joel, who I think is up the back there, not crying, which is awesome. When he applies it to his children's children, that's even further. And so already in our church, the generations are there for like 100 years. And so it's not like an abstract, faraway thought to build for the generations, but it's happening right now. So like we can be a part of that in building. We're sending people all over the world in teams to just make a difference in communities. You know, we're opening doors into our own community and transforming lives. Things are going to happen. It's going to be awesome. Yeah? You with me? Come on. I'm just a bit excited tonight. I just want to share that. I really like Vision Week. I think maybe I'll just Vision Year. And we'll just go on and on. But I think it's okay. Like, please do not be cynical in a vision time. I think it's easy to be cynical in a vision time and just go, oh, he's just trying to get me excited so that I'll, you know, do something for a little while. But let God stir faith in your heart. You know, it's not about getting a bit emotional and so going, yeah, let's do it. Because that will fade really fast. You know, you'll leave church tonight and that'll be gone. But let God stir faith in your heart to do the things that He has called you to do, so that it's not just a week or a few months or even a year, but you let the vision that God puts in your heart last your entire lifetime, and that we never give up on the things that God has shown for us to do, and we just keep on going, yeah? Because the stuff that God has for us and the things that He's got and He's called us to do, they're not going to be done by the few. They're not going to be done by a few people who work really hard while everybody, all of us, just sit back and go, yeah, nice work. That was really great. Like, I really appreciate that you did that thing. It really made my experience at church today really special. So thank you for that. That's not what's going to happen. You know, that is not going to build the church that is the bride of Christ. Because the church that is the bride of Christ will be built by every single person living out the call that God has for your life. And every single one of us doing the things that God has got for us to do. Yeah. And this year, I'm believing for a new level of empowerment. That every single one of us would be enabled and empowered by God to do the things that He has called you and us to do. Yeah. That we would see just new, like, doors open, new ministries open, new ideas come that won't be from like the senior pastor or a core team, but it's just like all of us getting on our hearts what God has called us to do and saying, what about this? I have this thing on my heart for this group of people. I have this gift that I don't know how it's going to work, but I really want to use it for God. And then God will just move on that and breathe on that and use that in an incredible way. So like, get it into your heart, yeah? You know, I always go back to Acts when thinking about the church and how it's supposed to be and vision. And I'm amazed every time by how God just used these ordinary people to do something incredible. And how God just moved in the disciples and the early church to just change thousands and thousands of lives. And even more amazed that He wants to do the exact same thing with us in this generation, in this time, in this city. Yeah? In Acts 4, Peter and John have just healed the beggar at the temple gate, if you've heard that story. And then they're speaking to all the people in the temple, and the temple guard and the Sadducees come. And it says, I'm just going to read it. It's from Acts 4. It says, they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who had heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others in the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. by what power or what name did you do this? I feel like this is like the opening that Peter is waiting for. When these guys like are there to accuse him, but pretty much open the door for him to preach the gospel to them. And I think that's, like, you know, if we could act and we can live in a way where someone will say, in what name did you do that? Like, what made you do that act? What made you do that thing that you did? What made you pray for that person? Like, what made you different to other people in our workplace? What makes you do different things to the things that other people in your school are doing? Like, what is it that makes you different, yeah? It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the cornerstone you builders, the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Now, I just believe that the church will not be built by experts. The church will not be built by an elite team that somehow is like more knowledgeable than other people, because that just doesn't exist. There are no such people, okay? But the church will be built by ordinary people who are filled with the Holy Spirit and who have been with Jesus, yeah? And there's nothing different or special about Peter or John or these guys or anybody else or anybody here. But all they did was do what they were told to do by God and were filled with the Spirit, had a relationship with Him where they walked in the power of God and the grace of God. And because of that, they saw amazing things happen, yeah? And we can see the same thing here and now in our world, in our city, in your workplace, in your university, in your school. We can see the exact same things happen here and now if we would just be filled with the Holy Spirit and walk with Jesus, amen? Now we'll see breakthrough in youth and young adults. We'll see Sunday nights, this meeting being a place where people just gather and from all over the city and worship and connect, where young men and women are totally devoted to God and are building His church. Yeah, where we don't rest on what the generations before us have done, but we take our claim and we do the things that we have been called to do, and we push forward, we press on to see even greater things happen. Yeah. I really don't want to get to the end of my life and be at the same place that my parents were. Like, I love my parents. They've done an amazing job in this church. But if we're at the same place when it's the end of my life, then we really haven't done anything. Because we've already been given this platform. You know, for all of us here now, there is almost 20 years of church building before us, just in this particular church. So we have this platform to go off and to go forward from. And so my vision for this year is that we would just start to take hold of that and not wait until later. Like, if you're in school, don't wait until you finish school. There's, like, school is the best time, seriously. I have never had more faith conversations than when I was at school and I was at university. You know, every now and then I get the thought of just going back to university just to talk to people, just enrolling in something random so that I can talk to people about God more. Because, like, you are in a spot where God has placed you, and it is incredible. And don't miss that time. Don't take that time for granted, but use it, because it's incredible. And God has literally surrounded you with thousands of people from literally all over the globe that He has brought right into your classroom for you to share with them what God has done in your life, amen? So don't miss that opportunity. If you're at uni, if you're at school, if you're at work, you know, there are people there every day, like in your family even, there are people that need to know the love of God. Don't think that we get like some time off, you know? Anyway, where was I up to? All right, yeah. That we would be a people that would find healing and grace in God, and then would just live out of that and live just totally free lives for Jesus. You know, not just kind of scraping by and surviving a year, but being more than conquerors. And that's the theme of our vision week, and that's what we've been talking about and Dad spoke about this morning. And I want to read that passage. It's in Romans 8. It's on the prayer card. It's on the screen. It's on everything that we're doing for Vision Week. It's even on the back of the toilet door. You know, so if you need to spend some time there, you can be stirred with vision. I'm serious. It says in Romans 8 from verse 31, it says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" Where's your expectation? That's "Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us, working for us on our behalf. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Oh, that's such an awesome passage of scripture. It really is. And I was just reading it today and just, I don't know, thinking about how we can come into this year from a position of grace and a position of love and knowing that we are chosen and loved by God and that he values us and he wants to use us and that there is nothing in the world or in heaven or anywhere that can separate us from the love of God. And so because of that, nothing can stand against us. God is for us. And so we can take this year with faith and with confidence, expect amazing things and not just aim to survive, but aim to thrive, because we have been given this incredible grace that we can live in. And that's not like just a religious thing or a theoretical thing, but we can actually live in the grace of God for our lives. And because of this, we don't have to carry anything that we've been carrying, but we can start this year free and we can move through this year free and we can do everything that we've called. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to bring life and life to the full. Jesus says, "I have come to bring life and life in all of its fullness." And so we can't let the thief or the circumstance be the thing that dictates our life and our vision, but let Jesus be the thing that dictates our life and our vision. Is this okay? You with me? Good. I was a bit worried because I just had some thoughts that I wanted to share, that it was going to be a bit short tonight, but I'm not even halfway, so I think next week will be like part two, and we'll just do that. And how big is your vision for this year? Like, why not make it bigger, really? Why don't we let the God who loves us and chooses us and has called us define our vision rather than letting the circumstance of our life define our vision? Yeah, why wouldn't I look at this, that passage in Romans 8 and say, well, since nothing can separate me from the love of God, then I am safe to aim high. I am safe to dream big because there's no risk, yeah? I can just hear God's call and I can go for it because, you know, grace isn't about getting away with sin, but grace is having a freedom to do the things that God has called us to do and to pursue him and not worry what goes wrong, but just go nuts for it, yeah? It's like a foam pit at a gym, like where you jump off the trampoline into the foam pit. I don't know if you've done that. It's pretty fun. But you know that you're safe when you're jumping into a foam pit. Like, if they just set up the trampoline on concrete, you're going to be fairly conservative with what you try because, you know, if you make a mistake, it's going to hurt. But when there's a foam pit, you know that you're safe no matter what, so you can just go nuts. And you can just try that double somersault or even like a backflip off the whatever you want, like the triple whatever. I don't know what those things are called, but you can do whatever because there's this foam pit and it's safe no matter what. And that's what it says in Romans 8, that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. So we can aim big and we can go for the things that God has given us to do, and we can trust God to provide and to look after us and to be there for us and just go all out, not with fear, but with faith and grace. Yeah, and I think that's what it means to be more than a conqueror. Not to be conservative with our efforts and our vision because we're worried that we will fail, but to be extravagant with our vision because we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God, and that He has called us and He has enabled us and He has empowered us, and Jesus came to give us life and life to the full. And so that means I want to get as much life as I possibly can, because, like, you know, who knows when full ends? Like, you're not full until you're full, so you can just keep going. If you can fit more in, then you're not full yet. So, like, I'm going to finish about here, but I don't know. I just really believe that God has so much for us this year, and I just hope that God stirs your faith in your heart, and I hope it's not about, like, me getting excited or someone preaching a good message at Vision Week or taking cards or seeing videos or things like that. But those things are just there to stir faith in your own heart for your own vision, and that you would spend time this week and this month just seeking God for what He's got for this year, for you and for your family and for your role in this church, and really let God move in a powerful way, because if we do that and if we let Him move, oh, nothing can stop us, yeah? So let's go for it. I'm going to pray. God, thank you so much for your presence. Thank you so much for your love and your grace. And because of you, God, we can come with confidence and to face the challenges ahead. God, we can have a huge vision for this year, God, that isn't defined by what happened last year, what happened in our past, what our circumstances say, God, but is defined by how big and powerful you are, God. And so, God, I pray that you would just put fresh vision in our hearts, God. Stop us from being hard-hearted or cynical, and open us up to dream big, God, and to not be afraid to look bigger to the things that you've got for us, God. You know, you say that you will just provide more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine, God. So we want to believe for that and dream big this year, God. I pray that you would put fresh vision in every one of our hearts, God. Vision for our workplaces, for our university, for our schools, God, for our families, that you would put fresh vision in our hearts for what you want to do, God. That you would stir us up, that you would help us to live lives devoted to you, God, and just do that in a powerful way. Thank you, Lord. Before I finish, every week we give an opportunity for you to start a relationship with God, and so I want to do that because, you know, God has a plan for your life that is bigger than anything you can think of for yourself. And because Jesus came as the Son of God and He lived a perfect life and He died on a cross and rose from the dead, you can have a relationship with God and you can have the plan that God has for you, and you don't have to live separated by the things that you have done wrong, but you can live in connection with God and eternity with Him in heaven. And, you know, Jesus is not just a story in the past, but He is real and He is alive today. And He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to share your life with Him. He wants to lead your life and take you to the places where you never thought you could go. And He wants you to have a relationship with God in an incredible, just real way. And so if you want to start that tonight, you want to let God into your heart, then I want to pray. We're all just going to pray together. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up, but the prayer is going to come up on the screen, and we'll just pray that together. And if you want to say it for the first time, or maybe just fresh again in your heart, then, you know, say it out loud with everybody else, but believe it in your heart, and then talk to whoever brought you about that as well. So if you just look up on the screen, we'll have this prayer, and we'll just pray it together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life. I'll follow you. Amen. Thanks, guys.